Welcome to An Hour to Give. This week, I'm so excited. We are featuring the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center, and I'm joined by Juliet Marchuk and Sandra Sawyers. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hi, Sam. It's great to be here.
It is so exciting. Sandra, walk me through your role at the center.
So my role at the center is I'm the new executive director. I'm fairly new now to the center, starting just this past March. Prior to that, I had been volunteering at the center, so that was sort of my introduction during COVID lockdowns and wanting to reconnect and do some volunteer work. So I started that way, and then there was an opportunity to join the team and sort of jump into a more meaningful role as the executive director. And that role I really saw as an opportunity, you know, to make an impact, be part of something that aligns with my values and skills and my education and passions.
It is so exciting to have you here. It's lovely to see you in this role. I know you've held a number of roles in the community. This one seems to fit you to a T. Juliet, what's your role?
Well, I'm actually the chair of the board of directors of the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center.
And how long have you been the chair for, Juliet?
Well, I've been the chair for a few years now.
And how did you get involved in the center?
Well, I've always had a passion for birds. Ever since I was a little girl, I had a passion for birds, and I wanted to make a bigger difference. And the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center I was supporting for the last 30 years or more. And I just got involved as the vice chair originally in 2016, referred to by one of the previous board directors.
And Juliet, you know, for those that may not be familiar with the center, it has been around a very long time. Give us a little sense of the history.
Yes, so the center has actually been around for approximately 40 years. It all started with Kathy Nehigh, who nursed an injured hummingbird back to health in at her Nepean home in 1981. She successfully released this little bird and decided that the Ottawa region could use a rehabilitation center for wild birds.
I'll tell you, I knew Kathy Nehigh. I was the chief of staff for the mayor of Nepean, and Kathy was just an amazing advocate, and we worked together quite a bit on different initiatives. It's lovely to see how far the center's come.
It certainly is.
And Sandra, when you heard about, obviously, the history of the center and the plans for the future, did that excite you as a new executive director?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. Myself as well, what Juliet just mentioned, like if you had a, when people asked me when I was, you know, a little girl, what do you want to be when you grow up? Helping birds and wildlife would have been right up there. So this is, you know, a very exciting opportunity. Like I told you, I was passionate, and I always have been, you know, volunteering my time and working, like you mentioned, in the non-for-profit sector. During trying to reconnect with that passion and find something meaningful during COVID, you know, when I was on the website initially, I was just so inspired. I mean, it was so professional looking and you know, hearing about the 40-year history and its founder, you know, that was very, you know, along with this compelling vision that, you know, for me being a nonprofit sector professional, of course, I'm going right to their, you know, strategic plan. Not many people go right to that when they see a website. But I was just, you know, blown away by the level of professionalism and the board, you know, really seemed to, have a path planned that was based on, you know, nonprofit sector best practices. You know, this vision that they had for building in the next 5 years, now the plan was 2020 to 2025, to build a new advanced care facility and on top of that to be the premier provider of wild bird rehabilitation in eastern Ontario. You know, it was something I could absolutely come on board with, and I wanted to be able to help them with that, you know, that mission that they had to assess and treat and rehabilitate injured, ill, and orphaned wild birds. And the part I loved about the mission was that it's for the purpose of releasing them back into their natural habitat. So, you know, with everything that's going on and that we're hearing and we understand now about the human challenges or base challenges that birds are facing, it's, you know, a very important mission. It's a part of that mission as well is educating people on aspects of natural history, conservation of wild birds, our role in rehabilitating wild birds, and they were doing that in conjunction with the Avian Care Program. So for me, having experience in educational programs, and then, you know, not a lot of people know this about me, but I actually started my career as a wildlife biologist many years ago. And so, yeah, I was all in. I was ready to jump in and help any way I could.
And as a board chair, Juliet, having an executive director that is that passionate about what you do definitely helps in your role as a volunteer chair.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful to have Sandra on board.
When you think about the dream of a new building, Juliet, walk me through the process of that and how you came to a decision to even build a new building.
Yes, the decision was actually quite a difficult one because we always had the option of possibly renting and building. And basically, it came down to being masters of our own destiny. With a brand new building, we could build it to our own specifications, make sure that the housing of the birds was correct, and that we could provide the very best care for all the different types of species. We decided to purchase a beautiful 17-acre lot in the west end of Ottawa. And from there, we started on designing the plans, and now we're in the process of site plan control with the city.
It's such an exciting time. How much money did you need to raise, Sandra? Did the whole group need to raise to make this dream a reality?
Mm-hmm. So the project itself for the new center is a $1.7 million project. And at this point, we've raised about 70% of the funds since the capital campaign was launched in May of 2019. So we're in that final stretch. So we've got $530,000 left to raise, and a few months left to do it. No pressure, but it's very exciting. We didn't, of course, anticipate, you know, the effects that COVID would have on, you know, sort of any kind of in-person types of fundraising or getting together with our larger birding community. But I have to say that it's been very impressive. You know, hearing what's, you know, especially Juliet is the chair of the Capital Campaign. She has that role on top of being chair of the board. And the work that she's done in meeting with potential donors and getting people excited and on board with the Capital Campaign and the building of the new center has been very astonishing. So, I mean, I would love her to speak more to, you know, what that journey's been like in raising 70% of the funds to date.
It really is exciting. It definitely takes a lot of partners, doesn't it, Juliet?
Yes, it certainly does. It's been wonderful, though, meeting one-on-one with the donors who are so eager to support our cause. It's been absolutely a wonderful journey.
And if someone's listening, Juliet, and they want to contribute to the campaign, how would they do that?
Yeah, there's a number of different options that we have for people. For those who actually want to leave a legacy and perhaps, you know, for a family or individuals, they could actually do a room naming, and those range from between $10,000 and $50,000, as well as other types of contributions. So we're also recognizing all donors who donate $100 or more provided that they give us permission, both on our website as well as the plaque on the new building itself.
What I love about this, Sandra, is you would be connecting with people that are just as passionate about birds in our community as you are.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's how important our connection to nature is. And just, you know, we've been overwhelmed in, you know, it seems that, you know, with more people at home and, you know, more people actually taking notice of nature around them and the birds, and unfortunately, bird window collisions and different things that, you know, orphaned birds or ill birds that they're seeing around their home in their own backyards, they're taking more notice of that and really wanting to, take a part in almost like an ethical responsibility and an obligation to help them. So it seems that our larger community of our bird lovers is really expanding. Actually, the center has had a record breaking number of birds brought in. I believe one day a couple weeks ago we had 85 in one day.
Wow.
So we're on track to get even more than, you know, during 2020, which was also a record year of over 4,300 birds. And we could possibly see 25% more on top of that. So yes, the need is increasing. We are desperate to, you know, move to a facility that can, meet the needs of, scaling up, working with a community to, better, be able to treat wild birds with the purpose of releasing them back to the wild.
And what's great about today is we get to spend the whole hour talking about the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Center. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. Today, An Hour to Give is going to the birds, but don't worry, it's a very good thing. We're talking about the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center, and we have Sandra Sawyers and Juliet Marchuk. Thank you so much for staying with us today.
Thank you.
We're talking about everything birds, and especially when it comes to this incredible capital campaign you have going on. But I understand, Juliet, you have a temporary home right now.
Yes. So in July, beginning very early in July, we're going to be moving to a temporary location. We certainly didn't anticipate the pandemic changing our timelines by more than a year. We were actually supposed to be in our new building last year. But everything from supply chains to site plan control applications, everything was delayed so incredibly that we just couldn't possibly get our project off the ground last year. So our current building is completely beyond repair, and we certainly definitely need more space to accommodate the increase in bird admissions. So we're going to be moving to a new location. It's not very far from our current location, less than 5 minutes away. And hopefully within a year, we will be moving into our brand new built facility.
I think it's really incredible. You're obviously in the last stages of raising this money for the capital campaign, but you have this move going on. Sandra, how are you managing all of it?
Yeah, so I won't lie, it is a lot. as an essential service, being open 365 days a year, and we're open early in the morning, 7 o'clock until 5 or 6 p.m. It's going to be certainly just a slight disturbance to our day to day, but it is very necessary, and we are looking at it. We have lots of volunteers, lots of dedicated. The board members have rallied and we're drawing up plans now on the best way to do this that will, put the less amount of stress on the staff and the birds.
So important. And as I think of your role as a board chair, Juliet, there's some extra expenses here. How are you managing those?
Yeah, well, the additional expenses would be anticipated under these particular circumstances, and fortunately, the Bird Center did have some reserves set aside for these type of eventualities. So we're sort of covered, and we're hoping also that our community will rally with us and provide us with additional funding.
Sandra, I always thought about the Wild Bird Care Center as a great place to volunteer. I understand that might be a bit challenging during COVID. How are you managing that?
Yeah, so as you know, Sam, in the the nonprofit sector, and especially a small charity like the Wild Bird Care Center, they're very dependent on working with volunteers. We have a small staff of 9 individuals right now. And during the pandemic, it was quite impressive, that they were able to keep up with the increased need, working with that small team. Now, during the beginning stages of the lockdown throughout 2020, they did close the doors to volunteers altogether, which was so unfortunate. We have just started welcoming back some of our long-time volunteers now to the center. We do have social distancing and all of our, those things still in place, but, with it being the summertime, they can, do things outdoors on picnic tables and prep food for the birds and these types of things. But in a normal year, Sam, the center can have up to 100 volunteers. So even though we have the 10 volunteers, and they have been amazing to come back and help us out at this time, and more people, as you know, are getting their vaccinations, and a lot of our volunteers now have both vaccinations. So we'll get there. Now the temporary facility is going to alleviate some of the stress, because it is going to be much bigger space for us. So the current center, I believe, is around 3,000 square feet, and this temporary space is around 5,000. So there may be a little bit of opportunity to even, have other, volunteers be able to come back, and, especially, well, we're going to need them for the move, that's for sure. But then, setting up something that looks more like, the volunteer program that we had pre-COVID.
Well, we certainly look forward to that for sure. And as I think back to 1981, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, Juliet, really it's the vision of Kathy Nehigh, who unfortunately passed away in 2009. But her legacy really lives on. Speak a little bit about Kathy. Did you have an opportunity to work with her, Juliet?
I didn't have an opportunity to actually work with her personally. However, I did take a number of injured birds to her home when she was still operating out of her home. She was a wonderful person for sure.
She certainly was. And I remember, like it was yesterday, driving down Woodruff, and there was an injured Canadian goose. And I knew exactly who to call. I called Kathy. It seemed like she was there in a minute and a half. I know it was longer than that. But her passion is really what started this incredible center. Is there pressure, Sandra, to carry on that incredible legacy?
Well, I mean, I don't think that, we'll ever have another Kathy Nehigh. She certainly is known around by the volunteers and the, some of the staff that were able to work with her as the Bird Whisperer. It's quite incredible. Juliet mentioned about, Kathy working out of her home, and she realized that, rehabilitation was her passion when she was able to, rehabilitate a small hummingbird, out of her home. So that hummingbird has become the symbol of the Wild Bird Care Center, and it's actually our logo. And so we're going to be proudly displaying that on the new building, along with many memorial plaques and, homages to pay homage to Kathy and her wonderful legacy.
And I read that it's just incredible to me, over 125,000 wild birds from 175 different species. Juliet, that is a lot of birds. This has really taken the commitment of not only Kathy, but really an entire community.
Yes, absolutely. And don't forget that there's 40 years of history here. So 125,000 birds over that length of time seems like a lot. But, you know, really, we rehabilitate them one at a time.
It's really remarkable, all the work that you've done. Sandra, let's walk through, really, it's a year to celebrate, 40 years of caring for wild birds in this community. Are you able to celebrate at all?
Well, yeah, it has been challenging. I mean, obviously, in a given year, we would be gearing up for something, you know, for a 40th celebration, you know, being able to share the story with our community. We're sort of hand-tied right now to, you know, things that we're able to do virtually. We have been sharing a little bit about the 40th anniversary messaging through some of our social media and our e-newsletter that goes out. We just recently released, we have it's called Wing Beats, and it comes out a few times a year, and it's actually like a little magazine, and we do have a special 40th anniversary edition that is available on the website if anyone would like to have a look at that. It kind of takes you on a journey through the, you know, the days, the early days when Kathy, you know, was, you know, founding the organization, the move to the current location at the Stony Swamp Trail in partnership with the NCC, and, you know, it sort of comes full circle back to, you know, the work that was started with the education program, and then, you know, where we're looking ahead to the next 40 years. So obviously building the new center and carrying that legacy on and really, you know, increasing that, you know, providing the highest standards of care for the increased need as our city begins to grow and grow.
Juliet, if 10 years from now we were talking, let's pretend it's 2031, what would you want the legacy of this new building to have and really all the work that you've done in 2021?
Well, I would certainly love to have to see a lot more birds rehabilitated. My heart has always been with the birds, and I've always wanted to be able to help them. I certainly would like to have as many as possible help through our rehabilitation program and also with the education to increase awareness and the importance of birds in all of our lives. The birds play a very key role in the balance of the ecosystems on which we all survive. So it's very important for all of us to make sure that we look after the birds one way or another.
It's such a good point for sure. Today, an hour to give is going to the birds, but don't worry, it's a very good thing. We're talking about the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center, and we have Sandra Sawyers and Juliet Marchuk. Thank you so much for staying with us today.
Thank you.
We're talking about everything birds, and especially when it comes to this incredible capital campaign you have going on. But I understand, Juliet, you have a temporary home right now.
Yes. So in July, beginning very early in July, we're going to be moving to a temporary location. We certainly didn't anticipate the pandemic changing our timelines by more than a year. We were actually supposed to be in our new building last year. But everything from supply chains to site plan control applications, everything was delayed so incredibly that we just couldn't possibly get our project off the ground last year. So our current building is completely beyond repair, and we certainly definitely need more space to accommodate the increase in bird admissions. So we're going to be moving to a new location. It's not very far from our current location, less than 5 minutes away. And hopefully within a year, we will be moving into our brand new built facility.
I think it's really incredible. You're obviously in the last stages of raising this money for the capital campaign, but you have this move going on. Sandra, how are you managing all of it?
Yeah, so I won't lie, it is a lot. you know, as an essential service, being open 365 days a year, and we're open early in the morning, 7 o'clock until 5 or 6 p.m. It's going to be certainly just a slight disturbance to our day to day, but it is very necessary, and we are looking at it. We have lots of volunteers, lots of dedicated. The board members have rallied and we're drawing up plans now on the best way to do this that will, put the less amount of stress on the staff and the birds.
So important. And as I think of your role as a board chair, Juliet, there's some extra expenses here. How are you managing those?
Yeah, well, the additional expenses would be anticipated under these particular circumstances. And fortunately, the Bird Center did have some reserves set aside for these type of eventualities. So we're sort of covered, and we're hoping also that our community will rally with us and provide us with additional funding.
Sandra, I always thought about the Wild Bird Care Center as a great place to volunteer. I understand that might be a bit challenging during COVID. How are you managing that?
Yeah, so Sam, in the the nonprofit sector, and especially a small charity like the Wild Bird Care Center, they're very dependent on working with volunteers. We have a small staff of 9 individuals right now. And during the pandemic, it was quite impressive, that they were able to keep up with the increased need, working with that small team. Now, during the beginning stages of the lockdown throughout 2020, they did close the doors to volunteers altogether, which was so unfortunate. We have just started welcoming back some of our long-time volunteers now to the center. We do have social distancing and all of our, those things still in place, but, with it being the summertime, they can, do things outdoors on picnic tables and prep food for the birds and these types of things. But in a normal year, Sam, the center can have up to 100 volunteers. So even though we have the 10 volunteers, and they have been amazing to come back and help us out at this time, and more people, as you know, are getting their vaccinations, and a lot of our volunteers now have both vaccinations. So we'll get there. Now the temporary facility is going to alleviate some of the stress, because it is going to be much bigger space for us. So the current center, I believe, is around 3,000 square feet, and this temporary space is around 5,000. So there may be a little bit of opportunity to even, have other, volunteers be able to come back, and, especially, we're going to need them for the move, that's for sure. But then, setting up something that looks more like, the volunteer program that we had pre-COVID.
Well, we certainly look forward to that for sure. And as I think back to 1981, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, Juliet, really it's the vision of Kathy Nehi, who unfortunately passed away in 2009. But her legacy really lives on. Speak a little bit about Kathy. Did you have an opportunity to work with her, Juliet?
I didn't have an opportunity to actually work with her personally. However, I did take a number of injured birds to her home when she was still operating out of her home. She was a wonderful person, for sure.
She certainly was. And I remember, like it was yesterday, driving down Woodruff, and there was an injured Canadian goose. And I knew exactly who to call. I called Kathy. It seemed like she was there in a minute and a half. I know it was longer than that. But her passion is really what started this incredible center. Is there pressure, Sandra, to carry on that incredible legacy?
Well, I mean, I don't think that, you know, we'll ever have another Kathy Nehigh. She certainly is known around by the volunteers and, the, you know, some of the staff that worked were able to work with her as the Bird Whisperer. Yeah, no, it's quite incredible. You know, Juliet mentioned about, you know, Kathy working out of her home, and, in, you know, she realized that, you know, rehabilitation was her passion when she was able to, you know, rehabilitate a small hummingbird, you know, out of her home. So that hummingbird has become the symbol of the Wild Bird Care Center, and it's actually our logo. And so we're going to be proudly displaying that on the new building, along with many memorial plaques and, you know, homages to pay homage to Kathy and her wonderful legacy.
And I read that it's just incredible to me, over 125,000 wild birds from 175 different species. Juliet, that is a lot of birds. This has really taken the commitment of not only Kathy, but really an entire community.
Yes, absolutely. And don't forget that there's 40 years of history here. So 125,000 birds over that length of time seems like a lot, but, you know, really, we rehabilitate them one at a time.
It's really remarkable, all the work that you've done. Sandra, let's walk through, really, it's a year to celebrate, 40 years of caring for wild birds in this community. Are you able to celebrate it all?
Well, yeah, it has been challenging. I mean, obviously, in a given year, we would be gearing up for something, you know, for a 40th celebration, you know, being able to share the story with our community. We're sort of hand-tied right now to, you know, things that we're able to do virtually. We have been sharing a little bit about the 40th anniversary messaging through some of our social media and our e-newsletter that goes out. We just recently released, we have it's called Wing Beats, and it comes out a few times a year, and it's actually like a little magazine, and we do have a special 40th anniversary edition that is available on the website if anyone would like to have a look at that. It kind of takes you on a journey through the, you know, the days, the early days when Kathy, you know, was, you know, founding the organization, the move to the current location at the Stony Swamp Trail in partnership with the NCC, and, you know, it sort of comes full circle back to, you know, the work that was started with the education program, and then, you know, where we're looking ahead to the next 40 years. So obviously building the new center and carrying that legacy on, and really, you know, increasing that, you know, providing the highest standards of care for the increased need as our city begins to grow and grow.
Juliet, if 10 years from now we were talking, let's pretend it's 2031, what would you want the legacy of this new building to have, and really all the work that you've done in 2021?
Well, I would certainly love to have the city a lot more birds rehabilitated. My heart has always been with the birds, and I've always wanted to be able to help them. I certainly would like to have as many as possible helped through our rehabilitation program, and also with the education to increase awareness and the importance of birds in all of our lives. The birds play a very key role in the balance of the ecosystems on which we all survive. So it's very important for all of us to make sure that we look after the birds one way or another.
It's such a good point, for sure. Sandra, really quickly, for someone that maybe has never participated at the center before, where can they find all this great information you're talking about?
We do have a fantastic website at wildbirdcarecenter.org. So there's lots of information there. You can also follow us on social media. We do have a very active Facebook page, mm-hmm. At Wild Bird Care Center. And what's become really popular are our Friday facts. That's a really interesting. We have one gal at the center who's so knowledgeable in all things wild birds. It's called Fun Fact Fridays. That's right. I just remembered. So if you like being on social media, you can connect with us there. And then, like I said, if you know, you can reach out and contact the center. We do keep our phone line on, and we answer that between 10 and 4 every day.
Excellent.
So if you have questions, you can definitely call the center or email our general email account.
Amazing. We have so much more to talk about. You're going to stay with me. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. You may be spending a lot of time in nature during these times when we're sort of isolating at home, and you may be enjoying our feathered friends. And that's why today An Hour to Give is focused on the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center. Juliet Marchuk and, of course, Sandra Sawyers have shared so many amazing aspects of the Ottawa Valley Wild Bird Care Center. And I'm so happy they're with us again for this last segment, last opportunity to really talk about really birds in this area. And I think, Juliet, I was really surprised to know all of the different reasons why maybe a bird would come to you.
Right. So there's quite a few. The one that's very common that you would normally see would be a window collision, about 34%, estimated, you know, 250,000 plus each year in Ottawa. At that point, a bird can be stunned. It could be killed outright, but in any case, it does need assistance. Pet attacks, so cats are responsible for 16% of the birds that are actually brought into the center. And the saddest part is that most birds that are attacked by cats, they basically don't even survive. And if you think about how many roaming cats we have, and the cats, let's say, killing an average of 1 to 2 birds per week, we can actually lose between 520,000 to over 1 million birds each year just here in Ottawa. And then, of course, we have vehicle impacts as well, baby birds that are orphaned and displaced from nests and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things that are working against the birds, and a lot of this is still really human-related. So everything that we do impacts them somehow. So that, on top of climate change and habitat loss, there's a lot of strikes against birds. 3 billion birds have actually been lost since 1970. One in four birds have been lost since 1970.
Wow, those are startling numbers for sure, Sandra. If we were to find a bird, if I walked out of the station today and found a bird that maybe collided with a window here and it was still alive, what would I do?
Yeah, so what we would suggest you do is, be able to, put the bird in, birds require a nice, quiet, safe space. So we would ask you to put the bird in a small box or some kind of enclosure that would have some ventilation. And actually, for birds that do impact windows, sometimes you don't see the immediate effects right away. So we would want you to bring that bird into the Wild Bird Care Center so that we could monitor it and make sure that it, if it had sustained some injuries, that we would be able to care for it and treat it so that it could rehabilitate and be re-released. But yes, we would definitely monitor it and be able to assess whether it was ready to be released again. So you would be able to bring that bird to the center for care.
And Juliet, if we're feeding birds on our property and trying to sort of attract them to our home, how can we ensure that the windows in our home aren't going to be a problem for them?
Yeah, so they normally want to have, they recommend having your feeders actually either closer to the window so that they don't have far to fly and that sort of thing, or quite a bit of a distance away altogether. What I've done in my own home, and I really recommend this, and that is to treat windows with something such as feather friendly. There are various other options available as well. And with something like Feather Friendly, you basically have little spots on the windows. The birds will actually see that. It breaks up the reflection of the neighboring trees and that sort of thing, so that when birds do fly, they can actually see the window instead of flying into it, and then they can actually turn and fly away.
And I was really surprised as well, Sandra, to learn that really the health of the birds is really the health of the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, birds are an essential part of our Earth's life support system. They perform so many ecosystem services, and you know they work so hard at to thrive, and you know, ultimately we all depend on functioning ecosystems, and we need that biodiversity to survive. It's interesting, during the, you know, there were some studies that came out during the pandemic that suggested that, you know, going to nature and birding and all these things were good for your mental health, and for it, they had exercise benefits as well. But a recent study also showed that it wasn't, you know, it's not just birds, but it's actually the diversity of birds that increase happiness in people. So it's just so important, you know, that we conserve and, you know, take our impact on birds seriously and, you know, starting to work towards mitigating and offsetting those potential harms, because, you know, nature can survive without humans, but humans cannot survive without nature.
Wow, that's really impactful for sure. And I understand there's a lot of endangered birds as well, Juliet.
Yes, we certainly see our share of endangered species. Over 20 different types come to the center each year. So anything from eastern meadowlarks, peregrine falcons, horned grebes, olive-sided flycatchers, bald eagles, bank swallows, bobolinks, evening grosbeaks, and so many more come through our center. And for example, last year we successfully rehabilitated a red-headed woodpecker, and the red-headed woodpecker was just declared as an endangered species in Canada in 2020, with only about 4,000 individuals remaining in Ontario and Manitoba. So as you can see, every single life matters.
And Sandra, what would you say to someone that's listening and they want to take action, they want to help?
Yeah, so, you know, just hearing Juliet speak about the threatened and endangered species, like just this morning I saw two little deer barn swallow, little nestlings that had been brought in. And you know, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I so hope that, you know, these two can make it and make an impact for, you know, to contribute, you know, back to their populations, and that we are able to release them eventually. So, I mean, obviously every dollar helps. You know, every contribution made through our website, I mean, it's so easy to give, and you know, we can assure you that we're spending, you know, all donor dollars effectively and efficiently. Like I said, I keep referring people back to the, you know, our website. There is a big donate button right in the top right-hand corner. It does give you options, you know, for where you'd like to, you know, place your gift. A lot of people consider one-time donations. You can set up monthly giving as well, and the amount that you are comfortable with. And then, of course, there's the opportunity to contribute to the building campaign and really, you know, enabling us to move towards having that larger facility that will ultimately be able to have a greater impact on wild bird conservation.
And speaking about that building campaign, Juliet, can you almost see yourself walking in there for the first time?
I most certainly can. It's going to be a magnificent building with an awful lot of space, and we're certainly looking forward to having it finished in the next coming year.
It certainly will be an exciting day. Sandra, you're looking forward to that day. You're looking for more partners. When are you hoping to actually walk in the building? Do you have a date for that yet?
Well... I don't think that we quite have that in sight. I think right now we're anticipating that it'll be within the year and that we'll be in our temporary location until that time. But yes, Sam, I certainly look forward to a time, speaking of, you know, coming together and celebrating the 40th anniversary, postponing that, you know, when we have the grand opening for the, you know, the new center, and inviting all of our, you know, partners past and present, and all of our dedicated donors and supporters and volunteers. It's something that I dream about right now, but I know I can see it happening, and I just can't wait.
Well, you can do what I did. I turned 50 this year, so next year I'm going to have a 50 plus one party. So you could have a 40 plus one party for everyone at the center. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of those plus one parties going around.
I agree. And Juliet, tell us who's on the team. Who's helping you make this a reality?
We have hired Keystone Construction, and they're doing the entire project. So from the project management onwards, and we've got a great set of engineers and architects, and we're just kind of moving ahead.
It's really exciting, for sure. I can't wait to visit. I hope I'll be able to visit when you're opening your new building, and maybe bring my daughter and we can do a bit of volunteering, Sandra.
That would be fantastic. I would certainly welcome you guys with open arms. There's lots of cleaning of cages to be done, that's for sure.
Well, that sounds perfect for us. I think that's the only thing we're qualified to do. So that would be fantastic. I've really enjoyed my time with you both today. And Sandra, remind us again, the campaign is ongoing. There's, of course, those operational costs as well. How much is a meaningful gift? If somebody was to give $20 or $25, what would that money go towards?
Yeah, so I mean, every donation is important. If it's a meaningful, if it's a meaningful gift that's coming from an individual, that's a wonderful thing. So we welcome any and all donations. It's so important. Like I said before, it really does, and we've heard this expression, take a village, like a true community, to pull off, a big campaign like this. So certainly, be assured that that every donation is very valuable and appreciated.
And I appreciate you both. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for the birds in our area in Ottawa and the Valley. It is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much to Juliet Marchuk and, of course, Sandra Sawyers for joining us here on An Hour to Give. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a chance to reach out to the center if you have any questions about the show today. Have a safe weekend, everyone.